Welcome to The Feast Life, where we empower you, the modern homeschool mom, to create a life and homeschool you love, one founded on faith, family, freedom, and fun. I'm your host, Julie Ross, creator of the award-winning homeschool curriculum, A Gentle Feast, and a certified Christian life coach. For more information on today's episode and to access my free gift for you, check out thefeastlife.me. Charlotte Mason once said, "Life should be all living, not a mere tedious passing of time." So on this show, we seek to savor the feast of life. Girl, grab your favorite beverage and pull up a chair. You are welcome at this table. Are you considering homeschooling but feel overwhelmed with questions like, where do I even start? Or am I actually qualified to teach my child? Well, you're not alone. And this episode will break through the myths, ease your fears, and give you practical steps to begin a homeschooling journey that fits your family. Welcome to the Feast Life Podcast. I'm Julie Ross, and today I'm tackling a topic I hear about all the time, how to get started with homeschooling. If you're feeling the nudge to pull your child out of traditional school but don't know where to begin, this episode is for you. We'll debunk common myths, address the fears holding you back, and I'll share simple, actionable steps to help you start strong. Homeschooling doesn't have to be intimidating. It can be an incredible journey of growth, connection, and discovery. Let's dive in and take the first steps together. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Feast Life Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Ross, and today I'm going to be talking to you about getting started with homeschooling. I've had so many parents reach out to me in the past couple weeks saying, I'm considering pulling my child out of school. Homeschooling feels so overwhelming, so daunting. I don't even know where to begin. Please help me. So this episode is for you all. I'm going to be looking at some common myths about homeschooling, some common fears that you may be having as you consider homeschooling, and then some practical tips to help you get started. All right. So a little bit about me, let me just share kind of how I got into homeschooling in the first place. So I was a former public school teacher, wanted to be a teacher all my life, firmly believed in education and the power of education to shape lives, to change the future. But once I got into public school, I taught fifth grade, and I really got disenfranchised with the way the school system was set up. I felt like I was just this cog in this machine. I was trying to stuff my kids with information. I went to a Title I very impoverished elementary school, and these students had so much trauma and so much stress going on in their lives to ask them to comprehend and absorb the information that I was required to teach them for our state end of year test just seemed so unrealistic. I felt like I was doing them such a disservice, and it really just broke my heart, honestly. And so I then helped start a private Christian school. And then when I was having my own children and they were getting to elementary school ages, I really felt the call to homeschool them. When I had my firstborn daughter, I went to a Bible study at my church, and she had colic really bad and it would cry pretty much the entire time I was trying to do the Bible study. So they would at some point during the Bible study call me out to come to the nursery to comfort her. And at this church during the Bible study, there was a homeschool co-op that was meeting. You know, they had like PE and different classes, and these teenage girls were working in the nursery as part of their homeschool experience. And I remember just sitting with my daughter and just talking to these teenage girls, and they were so smart and articulate and so lovely and so different than the students I had taught in my fifth grade class, but also in the high school practicums that I had done. And I just remember holding my daughter and being like, wow, I wish someday that she could be like these teenage girls. And if homeschooling is the way to do that, then sign me up. And so when I first got started, I was completely overwhelmed. There was very little out there back then. You know, we had some Yahoo groups where you could talk about different ideas. There was like three major publishing companies, and the homeschool materials that they printed were very much traditional school at home. And quickly I got burnt out. I had three kids under the age of three while trying to homeschool two elementary school children. And my husband was traveling during the week, and it was so overwhelming. And thankfully, at that point, before I threw in the towel, I started reading Charlotte Mason's volumes and realized that there's a whole different way to educate. I could do a whole nother episode on that. And if you've been following me for a while, you know I talk about this life-giving approach to education. So that's not what this episode is about. But I just wanted to kind of show you that most of us who have homeschooled for a very long time, so, you know, in two decades here, it has been a journey for us. It's not like we started out and we started out perfectly. And I think that's one of the fears and myths that people have about homeschooling is I have to have it all figured out before I can even start. So let me just dispel that there. It is a process. It's a journey. You're growing and learning while your kids are growing and learning. And part of it is finding your rhythm, finding your pace, finding what works for you, finding what you believe about education and how education should be taught. So don't feel like you need to have it all perfect before you even begin. Okay, so let's talk about some other common myths about homeschooling. So the first one is, I am not qualified to teach my children. Many parents worry they lack the necessary skills to educate their children effectively. But I'm here to tell you, as someone with a teaching degree, you do not have to have a teaching degree to teach your own children. In fact, I feel like sometimes my teaching degree made it harder for me to start homeschooling my children. You are the perfect person to educate your children. You help them learn how to walk, help them talk, help them learn how to feed themselves. Why would you not be equipped to also teach them the things that they need to learn in a school age setting as well? You know your child in and out. You know them more than anybody else on this planet. So you are the perfect person to homeschool them, and you can grow and learn in your skills just like your children are growing and learning in theirs as well. And in fact, studies have shown that homeschool students often perform as well as or even better than their traditionally schooled peers. This success is attributed to the personalized instruction tailored to a child's unique learning style. So in a classroom of 25 kids, it was impossible for me to meet every kid where they were to give them personalized instruction. And studies have shown that students can learn exponentially faster when they have that personalized instruction. As a homeschool parent, you are able to give your children that. And that's going to set them up for success beyond anything else, is having that time with someone who is right where they need to be and helps them grow and learn from there. So, in order to overcome that fear, talk to other homeschool parents, other people in your church or in your community who are homeschooling, who kind of dispel this fear that you're not qualified to teach your children. And don't worry, you don't have to teach your kid chemistry or calculus, people. There are so many outside classes, outside resources these days. And in fact, if you're using the kind of life-giving approach I talk about, you wouldn't be the one teaching them, because Charlotte Mason advocated putting children in touch with authors and thinkers who are the experts in their subject and having the student do the hard work of self-education. So you're not trying to fill the bucket anymore. So if you embrace the style of learning, they will have qualified people who are teaching them and filling them with these ideas. So you don't have to teach it all in order to homeschool your children. Okay, another common myth about homeschooling is my child won't be properly socialized. Okay, let's be honest here. We all know some awkward homeschool kids. But here's the deal. I also know some really awkward publicly school kids as well. So the way that you go to school doesn't necessarily make you like some social maven or some awkward social person, okay? A lot of that has to do with personality and family situations, no matter what, okay? But here's the thing that I think a lot of parents are starting to realize. Do you really want your children to be socialized in the public education system? Is there any other organization you could think of where we're segregated by ages like that? It's just not natural. And so for hundreds of years, students weren't segregated by age and grade until we started to industrialize our educational system. You think of like Little House on the Prairie or, you know, the old traditional village schools. They had a mix of ages. Children need to learn and work with people that are older than them when they have like a family style kind of learning environment, which you naturally have if you have multiple children that you're homeschooling. You know, they look to the older students. They want to emulate their siblings that are a couple grades ahead of them. They might explain things to a younger sibling, and studies have found that by teaching something, you actually retain it exponentially more than if you were just listening to it or reading something. So that's reinforcing their learning. But then they also get to, you know, show great care with the little ones. And, you know, this is how you talk to someone that's younger than you. And then they get to, oh, this is how you can express yourself to someone who's older than you, because that's what they're going to be doing for the rest of their lives. And honestly, our high schools are so sad. The way that these students are socialized to constantly be on technology, the things that these children are exposed to. And do you really want your kids socialized in that environment? I think oftentimes too, I see homeschool families who are too socialized, because there are so many opportunities these days for homeschoolers. There's extracurricular activities, there's field trips, there's clubs, there's co-ops, and if you're not careful, your child can be so social that you don't actually have time to do school at home. So I've seen that kind of other extreme, parents try to overcompensate for the fact that their children aren't with other kids 24/7, all week long in a school setting. And so they try to compensate for that by filling their schedule so much with stuff, which it could also hinder you in your homeschool. So be aware of that. But there are so many opportunities for your kids to be around other children their own age, to interact with adults, to interact with other age groups, which is actually quite more normal than age-segregated school environment would be anyway. Okay, another myth is that homeschooling is too expensive. Okay, let's be real. If in order to homeschool, somebody has to work less to homeschool. Okay, I know plenty of parents who have part-time jobs and also homeschool. It's a delicate balance. Obviously, I run my own company and I'm homeschooling, and lots of other people are as well. But it does take a reduction. It does take time from your working hours, but it doesn't have to break the bank. There are so many free resources. Honestly, you can give your kids a tremendous education with a library card, not just to go get books from the library, which quite honestly, I think are the most valuable educational tools, period. But many libraries have free classes, free resources. You can get like free LinkedIn and free audiobooks, free courses that are for like working adults, but are also great for high school, homeschool kids as well. So, and that's all free. So just go to your library. What free resources do you have? Ask them. You can also find so much used, or you can borrow materials. There's so much different ways to make it economical these days that it does not have to break the bank. Okay, another myth is that my child won't be prepared for college or the workforce. Okay, studies have shown this is actually the opposite, that homeschool kids are more prepared for college and they have a higher graduation rate in college than their traditional school peers. You know, homeschooling relatively new in the United States since like the 80s, you know, when it started to become legal in some states. And so, you know, we're just now getting the data from all of that, but even if you just want to talk experientially and not, you know, hard statistics, which thankfully we now do have, like the children that I know who are homeschooled, and I've worked with hundreds of homeschool families over the past 2 decades, their children are so articulate, they're self-motivated, which something is going to help you. They have grit and resilience and the things that actually now have shown determine your success higher than IQ. So that fear has no basis. Your children will be prepared for college, for the workforce, and there's even more opportunities for college kids because they can do internships in high school that normal high school students wouldn't have because they don't have the time. All my kids had jobs in high school. Two of my kids started their own companies when they were in high school. Three of my children did dual enrollment classes where you can go to a community college and you could take college credit often at a discount. So they graduated high school with several college credits under their belt. There's just so many more opportunities for high school kids that will help them be prepared for college or the workforce, whatever it is that they determine they want to do. Another thing is your kids learn. Excuse me. Hold on a second. Being homeschooled, your children learn amazing time management skills that they wouldn't have otherwise. So think about it. In high school, they're sitting at a desk, you know, from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. and they're having someone manage all their time for them. Here's the bell. Here's this. Do that. And then after school, you know, they're in extracurricular activities or they're doing homework or their time. They don't own their time. They don't have to manage it. But my kids, you know, when they were in high school, they had to learn to manage their schedules with jobs, with taking classes outside of the home, so that when they got to college, and you know, hey, you have these classes Tuesdays and Thursdays, you have these classes on Mondays, it wasn't that big of a transition for them because they had learned how to manage their time and learn those study skills that are so vital. Okay, another myth that I hear is homeschooling is legally complicated. Y'all, we have made so much strides in homeschooling. There are so many homeschool-friendly states right now where you really don't have very much that you need to turn in or be accountable for. But if you go to the HSLDA website, and I'll put this in the resources, it'll tell you what you need to do for each state. Go to your state's homeschool association. They will tell you exactly what to do. It is not legally complicated at all for the most part. There are a few states where they have more requirements than others, but even those, there are people to guide you and hold your hand because there are so many people that are doing it now. Okay, so we've talked about some common myths about homeschooling, and hopefully I've dispelled those, as you know, that they don't have a leg to stand on. Okay, let's talk about some common fears that I hear when people are considering homeschooling, and I understand because I've had these fears myself. Okay, number one, I'm going to ruin my child's future. This fear is incredibly common. Believe me, I have said this to myself on many occasions. Okay, and it's okay to feel this way because it just shows how much you love your kids and how you want to do a great job. But let me reassure you once again, studies have shown that homeschool students perform just as well, if not better, than their peers in traditional schools. They often excel academically, socially, and emotionally. But here's the kicker. Most likely, you are probably a product of, you know, our traditional education system. And so you have a fear of failure. You have a fear of doing something wrong. And oftentimes as homeschool parents, we have to work ourselves out of that mindset so that we're willing to try new things with our kids, to explore and be creative and be curious. And when you can approach homeschooling through that approach of, oh, okay, well, that lesson didn't go well. What could I do different next time? It kind of dispels that fear because you realize like, oh, this is part of the learning process. This is how people have learned for hundreds of years, is by trying things and adapting and overcoming and improvising. So take that fear, take a deep breath, and be willing to try something else. Focus on your child's strengths. Learn to celebrate, you know, your small accomplishments, your small wins, but go back to the homeschool research if you need to kind of dispel that fear. Another fear I have is I won't have enough time, because that is a legit fear. Homeschooling does take time. And if you are also working, or if you're also managing a home and you have chores or other little ones, how am I going to fit this in? But here's the kicker. Homeschooling doesn't mean you're sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day. In fact, one of the greatest gifts of homeschooling is flexibility. And using the life-giving approach that I teach, you have short, focused lessons, because these are just as effective, if not more effective, than giving your child too much to do and giving them long periods of time to do it. Because you're able to get homeschooling done, a lot of times families do it around lunchtime, they're done for the day. So this gives you time to work on those household chores that you're worried will get undone. It gives your child time to explore their interests. And remember, learning happens everywhere, not just in a book or in a workbook, if that's the kind of style of education you're using. You can teach math while you're making dinner with fractions. You can go on nature walks and have your kids observe and, you know, find something they're interested in and then go learn more about it. Like, there's so many learning opportunities that are constantly happening all the time. And we have to get out of that kind of traditional mindset that learning only happens between these hours and it only happens when you're sitting at a desk. So start small. Make a schedule that feels manageable to you. Read books during breakfast or during lunch or dinner or before bed. All of that is still part of learning. Learning is happening all the time. And it's okay to maybe not overschedule yourself with extra commitments when you're first starting out homeschooling, just so you can kind of get your feet wet and figure things out. Okay, another fear that I kind of touched on before, but I want to say it again, is that I won't be able to teach high school subjects. Many parents worry they won't be able to teach advanced math, advanced science, you know, high school writing, literature analysis, those kind of things. But here's the deal. Again, you don't have to teach it all yourself. Your role as a homeschool parent will shift as your child gets older. You become more of like a mentor and a guide for them. And then you can rely on external sources like outside classes, again, books written by experts, tutors or co-ops or dual enrollment college classes. There's so many different options there. And so you don't have to be the one teaching all the subjects to your high schooler, but it is really fun if there's a subject that you really like to do it alongside your high schooler and get to talk to them about some of the books or things that maybe you didn't really like when you were in high school and you realize like, oh my goodness, I actually really like Shakespeare when I'm just reading it for the beauty of the language and not trying to dissect like the rhyme scheme and what all the metaphors meant in the story. If I could just enjoy it for enjoying its sake, wow, I actually kind of like this stuff. And I've heard from so many homeschool families that homeschooling healed the relationship that they had with their own education. In a way, it redeemed their education because they were able to learn things just for the beauty of them, just for the love of knowledge, and to give their kids an opportunity to have an education that they didn't. Okay, another fear I hear is I'll lose my identity homeschooling. Okay, this is a legit fear too, because homeschooling can feel all consuming. It's easy to put yourself last. But here's the truth. When you take care of yourself, your family thrives. So if you can approach homeschooling and be very strategic about not letting it be all consuming, about keeping your own passions and interests and hobbies and relationships as a priority, it won't take over your entire world, okay? The beauty of this style of learning is it does allow you time to find your passions, have your hobbies, talk about these with your kids, get your kids might be curious or interested. You could share your learning. And as you're learning and growing, you're sparking that enthusiasm in them for them to learn and grow. You need to schedule those in though, or it will become all time consuming. Schedule in self-care, schedule in exercising, scheduling in time to talk to, you know, other homeschool moms and have those kind of friendships is super important. All right, so let's get into some practical steps to get started with homeschooling. So here is the most important thing. Before you start homeschooling, you need to know your why. You need to know your why. Homeschooling is a very big commitment. Today's episode is brought to you by A Gentle Feast. A Gentle Feast offers a complete living books curriculum, an award-winning early reading program, and more tools to equip you to apply Charlotte Mason's timeless philosophy into your modern homeschool. Go to agentlefeast.com to check it out. Smooth and easy days are closer than you think. So the first and foremost, the most important question to ask yourself is, why am I choosing to homeschool? This is your foundation. It's the guiding star that's going to help you make other decisions. Because like I said, there's going to be so many opportunities coming your way. If you ever go to like a homeschool convention, like the exhibit hall is full of bunches and bunches of homeschool curriculum. And you're like, I don't even know where to start. Okay. Knowing your why is going to be like your GPS and go, oh, nope, that doesn't fit in with my why. Oh, yep, that fits in. Oh, nope, that doesn't align. And you need to have that foundation first. Okay. So, for example, someone I know, her son was really struggling in traditional school, and she wanted him to rediscover the joy of learning and explore his interests on his own time and at his own pace. Her why became to create an environment where his curiosity could flourish. So what's your why? Here's some questions that may help you. Take some time to journal about these. What do you hope your children will gain from homeschooling? Oftentimes, it can be so tempting to focus on what you're leaving. Like, this is why I'm homeschooling because I don't want these things, or I'm leaving this. And that's fine. And that's important to consider. But that can't be the reason that's going to sustain you long-term in homeschooling. You have to have a new direction, a new calling for what am I doing with the time that I have them here at home? So what do you hope your children will gain from homeschooling? How do you want your family life to feel during this season? And what do you value most in education? How do you think children actually learn? What makes learning possible? Get really kind of clear on those kind of things before you start shopping for curriculum or signing up for classes. Okay, practical step number two, start small and build gradually. You do not need an elaborate plan to begin. In fact, that can be a great detriment to have that, okay? Because you want to start simple. Start with a few simple subjects, a few resources, and then expand as you get your rhythm. You guys get your feet under you, and you kind of, then you can add in different things, okay? It can be really tempting to buy all the things and do all the things day one because it all looks so cool and so interesting, and we want our children to have these amazing opportunities, and you and your kids are gonna burn out so fast. Trust me on this one. It is so much easier to start small and then add on, okay? So thinking through your learning space, how can you create a welcoming learning space in your home? How can you set up an atmosphere that feels warm and inviting and comfortable, maybe with natural light? How can you minimize distractions? How can you make some cozy reading areas? You might just want to begin with the core subjects like math, language arts, a few fun, I call them beauty subjects in a gentle feast, but art, music, poetry, the things that fill your soul and inspire learning. Okay, all of these, again, can be low-cost things. Books, books, books. Okay, so start small, and then once you get your feet and you kind of know what you want, then you can start investing more money in those things. Okay, number three, find your rhythm. A homeschool day does not have to mimic a traditional school schedule. I made this mistake when I first started homeschooling because that's all I knew, you know, was from being a teacher. And so we had our circle time and recess, and it was like every half hour had something scheduled. But that doesn't really work for family life, especially if you have younger ones or you're involved in different activities. Every day is kind of different. So here's a very simple daily rhythm you can start with. So start with the morning time, quietly bring everyone to the table. You know, you can do your devotions, you can sing songs, you can read something beautiful, just set the tone for the day. So it has a definite start time. It's not just whenever we feel like starting, because that can lead to some really bad time management skills. So have a start time for your school, have a start time ritual. Then focus on short core lessons. And then in the afternoon, you can allow time for like art or nature walks or science experiments. And then in the evening, just come back, connect as a family, maybe enjoy a good book together, maybe go on a walk, allow your children to share kind of what they've learned and what their wins are from the day. A very simple rhythm like that is such a great way to start. Again, don't try to put too much into your days. Okay, number four, focus on life-giving practices. Again, homeschooling isn't about creating school at home. So you don't have to give your child the same kind of education that you're leaving. Okay, if it wasn't working in school, it's most likely not gonna work at home too. We have to get out of this traditional school, industrialized, standardized approach that in the scope of human history is relatively new with the industrial age and having to mass produce workers for factories and having to get hundreds of kids in. You know, this kind of rigid standardized system for learning took place, but that's not how kids learn best. They learn best by, you know, exploring big ideas in books and having experiences. And so you can incorporate some of these practices right from the get-go into your homeschool. So the first one is using what those in the Charlotte Mason world call living books, like real books, not boring textbooks that they have in schools, not dry workbooks with comprehension questions, but beautiful books with pictures if they're younger, or beautifully written language, ideas that capture their imagination. And yes, this can apply to all subjects. You want to have your kids doing hands-on things, right? Science experiments, making crafts, baking, exploring nature, getting their hands dirty, allowing them to kind of ask questions and explore big ideas and get curious about learning again. Sadly, our traditional school system like kills children's creativity. Ken Robinson actually had a famous TED talk about this that I'll link in the show notes, like, do schools kill creativity? And so we want to foster that again. So ask yourself, what is my child naturally curious about? How can I give them opportunities to kind of explore this? It doesn't mean you need to create a whole curriculum or find a class about it. Oftentimes that actually kills the curiosity too, but just allow them resources or time to explore those things. And then once again, like, how do you define success in education? What is your end result? Okay, tip number five, build connection and community. Homeschooling offers a unique opportunity to strengthen family bonds. That's one of the things that I am so grateful I homeschooled my kids, is for the relationships that the siblings have with each other and the way that they've grown together as a family. You could do family projects. Maybe you're going to make something together, like a garden, or you can cook meals together. You can spend one-on-one time with each child through the day while the other ones are doing different things. You can go on family field trips and have shared experiences to museums and parks and cultural events. And it really does create this kind of family culture around learning and about the different things that mean something to your homeschool. So you can find local co-ops, local homeschool groups. There's groups online if you live somewhere where there's not one. You can participate, like I said, in some of these extracurricular activities or clubs together. And you can find your homeschool mom buds online too. You should join our Feast Life community. I'll put that Facebook group in the link too. All right, have patience with yourself and your children while finding your groove homeschooling. The first few months of homeschooling can feel like trial and error. And that's okay, because that's part of the process. So, you know, I've had people who, you know, they've tried one thing and like, oh, as soon as we wake up in the morning, we're going to get started with math while I work with the little kids. And then they realize like their kids like hated that and they didn't want to get up and start math right away. That sounded horrible. And so they moved math to the afternoon and their kid did so much better. Or like the little ones were like crying while they were trying to do this lesson. And so now they moved that lesson to like dinner time while, you know, the dad gives the kids baths. Like, you have to be flexible and willing to try different schedules, different kinds of things to find your pace. But even so, you might find something that works, and then next year, like, your kids are different ages or you have different life circumstances and you're going to try something else. And that's part of the beauty of homeschooling. There is no one right way to do it for all the years that your kids are in school. I have changed and adapted so many times. Okay, but reflect on what is working, what isn't working. Make small little tweaks. You don't have to like throw in the towel and buy a whole new homeschool curriculum because something isn't working and waste all that money. Or you don't have to like, you know, send your kids back to school because something isn't working. Always be willing to tweak and try new things and you will find your way, okay? Okay, and last but not least, if you are pulling your children out of public school, consider deschooling, giving time for this process to happen, okay? Deschooling is your chance to reset, recalibrate, and reimagine education for yourself and your children. So what is this? What am I talking about? What's deschooling? Okay. Deschooling is the process of unlearning the traditional school mindset. It's a period of adjustment for both the parents and the child, where you let go of the structures and habits of conventional schooling and embrace a more natural way of learning that humans have learned for hundreds of years, okay? For children, this time allows them to decompress. Children who have been in school for a while can have so much pressure on them to get the right answer right away, to never fail, to never make a mistake, to never, you know, try even to try new things, because it's like, this is right, this is wrong. You don't know what you're doing. They're embarrassed. There's competition in schools. And so that natural curiosity, like I said, has been beaten out of them. So we need to allow time for them to kind of deprogram that and realize like, oh, mistakes are opportunities to learn. Oh, it looks like this math problem, you know, the answer was this. Huh, I wonder what led you to that. That's interesting. Maybe we could figure it out together. Like, not approach it as, well, that's wrong. Now you have to go back and fix it, like they would have a traditional school, but to see that as an opportunity to actually learn something. Okay, it allows your children time to kind of explore some of their natural interests, to find that love of learning again without all the pressure of grades and tests and schedules. Ah, what a beautiful gift you're giving your children to allow them to find the love of learning again. Okay, this is also an opportunity for you to reflect on your values, to question some traditional ideas and mindsets, maybe about even your own education, and envision what's possible and dream about what homeschool experience you could actually give your children that aligns with your family's goals and values. So I know a family, their child was 10. She was in traditional school. She had lost all motivation for learning, didn't care, which is often what happens. We have kids who they become apathetic. They get learned helplessness, like nothing I do is going to work. And those are the kids who usually get in trouble in school, start, you know, doing things that they're not supposed to be doing to occupy their time. Or you have the kids that put so much pressure on themselves to succeed in kind of this traditional education system that they are, you know, the amount of anxiety and depression that our teenagers are dealing with right now is at like epic proportions. the most stressed out and anxious generation ever is our teenagers right now, because there's so much pressure to get the right grades, to get into college, to pass the tests, to do all the activities, to have the, you know, the best portfolio that's going to get you into where you want. And that, again, that natural love of learning has gone from them. And so their child was 10. She was on that kind of apathetic, no motivation side. And during this time of deschooling, she was super interested in Legos. So her parents let her, you know, spend the first hour of school making Lego cities. But that creativity reignited an interest in architecture and building structures, and it set the tone for a more engaging homeschool experience. So again, it's so important. Deschooling is a powerful reset. It allows you and your child to heal and decompress. Like I said, traditional schooling can be very stressful with all its emphasis on performance and grades and tests. So deschooling gives time to rest and recover from this burnout. It allows your children to follow their natural interests and passions without feeling the need to perform to get that curiosity back. And as parents, deschooling helps you let go of the expectation to replicate school at home. It's a chance to embrace a new vision of education that prioritizes growth, exploration, and most importantly, connection. So how long do we need to do this deschooling for? Well, a general rule of thumb is to allow 1 month of deschooling for every year your child has spent in school. For example, if your child was in school for 6 years already, that would be about 6 months. Again, this isn't a strict timeline. Every child, every family is different. Some need weeks, some need months. You're still doing, you know, you can still be reading books and doing some math and playing, you know, games that are learning kind of games and those kind of things. But it's not the formal kind of learning structure that you would normally have in homeschooling. You're allowing them a lot of time to decompress and heal, you know, going on nature walks, doing things together as a family, rebuilding that connection that you and your child need in order to homeschool effectively. Allow that time just to go sit at a coffee shop and be there with your child and love them. Okay. So sometimes, you know, families need a few weeks, some need a few months. It really just depends there. But so what does this actually look like? What are you doing here? It doesn't mean doing nothing. It's about creating a space for organic, interest-driven exploration. So it might be free play, especially with young children. So encouraged unstructured play to spark creativity, critical thinking, problem solving. Read just for pleasure. What are they interested in? Go to the library, find some books about it. Let them just read without the pressure of like having to write a paper about it or answer questions about it. Spend time in nature. I cannot emphasize enough how healing nature is. If you need some evidence for this, Richard Liu's book, N is for Nature Deficit Disorder. I'll link that in the show notes. So good. But go for walks. Go to the zoo. Just spend time just sitting outside. It is so therapeutic. And then do things together, you know, bake cookies, do a gardening, do some kind of building project, anything you can that can help your child build skills and confidence, but in a relaxed manner. So during this time, it's as much about you as it is your child. So observe your child, pay attention to what excites them, what interests them, what their natural curiosities are. This will help guide your homeschool journey. Reflect on your mindset. What beliefs about education are you holding onto, and will they serve your family? And resist the urge to rush. It can be tempting to jump into curriculum and planning, but trust the process. You and your children need this time for future success. And then during this time, you know, journal, write about what you're noticing. What are you noticing about your child? What are you noticing about you? What's coming up for you? This is an adjustment time for both you and your child. So I hope that was helpful. We covered some common myths that people have about homeschooling, some common fears that people have when they first are getting started, and some practical tips to kind of help you get started. And as you're getting started, make sure you spend some time to deschool and decompress. Okay. And I just want to end with this thought. Homeschooling is a journey, not a destination. By thinking through these myths, by addressing your fears, by taking some of these little practical steps, you're setting your family up for a meaningful and enriching experience. Remember, you don't have to have it all figured out on day one. Homeschooling is this beautiful journey. It's about progress. It's about connecting with your children in a way that you can't when they're in school all day long. It's about creating a nurturing environment where your child's going to thrive and where their natural creativity and curiosity is going to come back to them, because that's what they need in order to truly have a love of learning. To truly be a lifelong learner, your child has to have this for themselves. What an amazing gift and privilege that you get to be the one to give this gift to them. If you have questions about homeschooling, please hit me up. I'm more than happy to answer all your questions. I actually just created a free guide that talks a lot about these things in the episode, but gives you some more links and resources. So if you like this free guide on getting started with homeschooling, please see the resources for that link to sign up for that. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Feast Life. Let's recap. So, what are some key takeaways? Number one, you don't have to be perfect to begin. Homeschooling is a journey of growth for both parents and children. You don't need to have everything figured out before you start. We also dispelled some common myths about homeschooling. So, you are qualified. You've already taught your child foundational skills like walking and talking, and homeschooling is just a continuation of that natural learning. If you have socialization concerns, homeschooling can foster natural multi-age socialization and provide a more positive environment for interaction. And then cost. Hey, a library card and creativity can go a long way in providing a rich education. We also address some fears, like that you'll be ruining your child's future. Well, research shows homeschoolers often excel academically, socially, and emotionally. Time management. Homeschooling does not require an 8-hour school day. Flexibility and short lessons make it manageable with family life. Having to teach high school subjects. Leverage outside resources like tutors, dual enrollment, or co-ops for those advanced topics. And then we discuss some practical ways to start. Number one, know your why. Identify your reasons for homeschooling and use them as your guiding star. Number two, start small. Focus on core subjects and build gradually as you find your rhythm. Number three, create a flexible daily routine tailored to your family's needs. Number four, incorporate life-giving practices using living books, hands-on activities, and meaningful connections to foster curiosity and creativity. Then build community, strengthen family bonds, and connect with local or online homeschool groups. And last but not least, allow some time for deschooling. Allow time to transition from the traditional school mindset. Use this period to explore nature, decompress, and rediscover the joy of learning again. Don't forget to check out our free guide that's in the show notes, where we have our free PDF that you can get to help you get started with homeschooling. Thanks for listening. Hey there, Julie Ross here. I just wanted to say thank you for listening to today's episode. If you like this show, it would mean the world to me if you would leave a positive review in iTunes. This really does help people learn about the podcast. And each month, I will pick a winner to receive a free gift. Don't forget to check out all the free resources we created for you at thefeastlife.me. Thank you.